victory. And all I see is a mountain. You see a mountain move. As I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. In Almighty Fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. In Almighty Fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, battle belongs to you. Oh God, the battle belongs to you.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to SWIM Community Church. It's great to have you joining us in person as well as online this morning. And 1 Corinthians 15. 55 says, O death, where is your sting? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what this next song is talking about. He has done great and mighty things for us. We serve a victorious God. Let's worship him this morning.
Thank you. Why? champion. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker.
You never stop working.
And even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Oh. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. And that is
Let's pray together. Lord God, you are the way, the truth, and the life. You allow us to know your revelation, your word, your truth to us. But Lord, far beyond that, we have the pleasure to know you personally and be in a close, intimate relationship with you. And Lord, the more we read about you, the more that we experience of you. We feel privileged We feel honored. We even question why, as great and as awesome as you are, that you would want to be in relationship with us. For Lord, we know our own faults and foibles better than anyone else does. And this past week has not been a week without its mistakes and its miscues. Lord, where we have sinned, we confess that to you. And Lord, we're thankful that you're a God who washes away the guilt and the shame and replaces that with a sense of grace, mercy, and unconditional love. Jesus, as we pray this morning, you know who's upon our mind, heart, and soul. We lift them to you. Lord, we pray for our world, for our country, for our own region. We lift up again today, Lord, the leaders, government leaders, the corporate leaders, that you would give them wisdom and insight. We pray again this morning for those, especially on the other side of the planet, who are in very challenging circumstances, communicating your word, encouraging people in their relationship with you. Lord, give them a strength. Remind them of the importance of what they say and what they do. A true hope. For you are the hope. You're the hope in each and every day, and you're the hope in the future, and you are the eternal hope that we grab a hold of this morning. And as we come to worship you, help us to feel your presence, your power, and your peace. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's thank those leading us in worship this morning. And you can welcome everybody around you however you would like. I think most everybody that's wanting to be in a little closer contact are over here, and we still have a social distanced area, and we'll continue to keep that for those that feel more comfortable in that setting. We want you to be safe. We want you to be comfortable in how we're going about our fellowship. I don't really have a bunch of announcements this morning. The big thing that I'll remind you about is the Operation Christmas Child boxes need to be in by November 21st. If you're going to have any trouble getting them here on that day, let us know, and we can find someone to come by and pick up the box that you put together. And it's never too late to sponsor a few boxes. You can do that by going online, and as you get to the give icon, you'll notice Operation Christmas Child listed. If you pick that, then that's where your gift will go. You can also forward your tithes to the church that way as well. If you need any help with that, again, call the church office and we can walk you through giving online as well as in person. We have two more new members that we're going to bring in today, and I'm going to make good on my promise to the introverts that I won't interview you. But it is Carol and Rob. I know they don't mind that. These are some more very good folks to add to our family. Here we go. In presenting yourself for membership in this church, do you acknowledge your own need of God's grace as proclaimed to you in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you confess that you have received him by faith as your Savior and Lord, and that your desire is to grow into a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ? Do you commit yourself to this particular church family, ready to give and receive love, to respond to the challenge of Christ, and to support it with your resources and prayers? All right, here we go. This is your part. And do you, as members of this congregation, pledge your love and your support and your prayers to those who are joining us today, to the end that Christ will be glorified by our love for him and for each other? We say we do. Yeah. All right. So let's clap and they can return to their seats. Sean from South Asia is going to be here a week from today. After the third service, there's a mission lunch. It's Reformation Day, and here's a great video to let you know what Reformation Day is all about.
500 years ago, a German monk named Martin Luther started a protest that exploded into a worldwide movement. At that time, Europe lived in the shadow of the Roman Catholic Church, and that was more like an empire than a church. It crowned and cast down kings, and used its dominance to keep people in the darkness of superstition. That sounds pretty unfamiliar, but in some ways, Luther's day was very much like our own. Just like today, everyone had an opinion about the Bible, even though almost no one actually read it. Like so many of us, they were trusting the thought leaders and tastemakers of their own day to tell them what was in the Bible and whether or not to believe it. Luther was one of the very few people actually reading the Bible, and what he found was earth-shattering. Even though he was a monk, Luther hated the God of the Bible. But when he studied it, the world around him began to make sense. God made sense. The significance of Jesus became clear to him. He discovered the answer to his deepest questions. How could evil be overcome? Specifically, how could his own evil, his own sin, be dealt with? Luther discovered that he couldn't do anything to fix this problem himself. He had to rely on the finished work of Christ alone. Luther had discovered a central truth. It changed his life, and it changed the world. The Protestant Reformation was about two things. It was about who can say what's true, and it was about how to reconcile who we are with who God is. It recognized that God's word is the ultimate authority in this world, and that the perfect life and sacrificial death of Jesus Christ are the only answer for evil and the only basis on which sinners can stand before a holy God. The Protestant Reformation is a story of transformation, a transformation from hate to love, from slavery to freedom, and from blind faith to a glorious discovery of the truth in Jesus Christ.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing.
This morning I was reading from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 to 19.
Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future, so that they may experience true life.
God promises us many things in the Bible. Today we want to look at the promises God makes to us about being generous. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And it's amazing how giving changes our attitude, changes the focus and the trajectory of our life. In fact, when I run into people, and I run into a few almost every day, yes, they're fatigued and frustrated and a little angry. And what I like to say to them is, go find someone that you can give to. And that'll make you, well, it'll change your attitude. It has a lot to do with what we're building our life and our faith on. Are we building our life and our faith on what we get, or are we building it on generosity and how we share our time, talent, treasure, and touch? Those are our resources. Well, God's word carries many promises about generosity and its impact on the life of the giver, as well as on the life of the receiver. I've picked five to talk with you about this morning. Why is it better to give than it is to get? Number one, God says that he will bless the life of a person who is generous. Good will come to those who are generous. And then Proverbs 22:9. Generous people will be blessed. Now, I think that's true as I've interacted with people. They find that when they're giving to other people, when they're investing their time, talent, treasure, and touch in the life of another person, that makes a positive impact on them. And I want to thank you again as a congregation. You are very generous. And it's been great to see people doing the shoeboxes. They've been bringing them into the office so that they're on site already. We assembled the kitchen boxes and the home boxes for Afghani refugees being located in the Seattle-Tacoma area. And what's been great is I've looked at the faces of those involved. They've had a smile on their face. For a moment, they've been able to push back everything that we've been dealing with in COVID and focus on one really good thing that they can do in the midst of, well, the craziness, the odd time that we live in right now. Yes, it is good, the Bible says, to be a generous person. And yes, good things will happen to the person who is generous. In fact, God says that if you're a generous person, that he will bless your work, your business, your avocation, as well as your vocation. Now, here's a challenging verse out of Proverbs. Honor the Lord by giving him the first part of all your income. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will overflow with the finest wine. Now, I like this verse. I like wine. But here's the thing. What does it say? It is a conditional promise. God says, if you'll honor me with the first tenth of your income and not the last part of your income, here's what I know. If off the top I don't write my tithe check to the church, it won't be what it ought to be. It ought to be 10%. And I know if I waited till the end of the month, well, have you had more month than you've had money in your life before? Yeah, we've all experienced that. And if we truly want to honor God, if we want God to know that we worship him, then a natural way to do that, what the scriptures encourage us to do in a very wise way, is to give the first part, not the last part. Because the first part's going to be a 10% tithe. The last part's probably not going to be that. Proverbs 11:25, the generous person will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Now, we all know that this is true. When we find someone in need or a good need, a good opportunity, a good endeavor, and we give to that, well, don't you feel a little bit better when you give to something? When you know you're making a difference either in the life of a person or in a movement or an organization or a gathering? I do. I think it's fun to give to other people. I want to meet their needs, but isn't it interesting how we prosper, our need is met at the same time? And so this conditional promise, if you want your life to be blessed by God, then you got to honor Him first, not last. And we learn this at the very moment, really, of our conversion, don't we? When we ask Jesus to be the leader of our life, we're all in. We're all in. Whatever He asks us to do, that's what we'll do. When He urges us to speak, we will speak. When the Holy Spirit says, shut up, sometimes we do. The more in line we become with the will of God, the better off we are for doing that. And God does want to bless us, but we have to cooperate. We have to do what God asks us to do, and when we do, we shouldn't be surprised at the results, because God is a promise maker and He's a promise keeper. God is trustworthy in this, that if we'll honor Him first and foremost, then that positions us for God to bless us. For God to bless not only our own life, but the things that we do, our work, our business, our avocation. Yeah, He's a great giving God. And in that, we get to model the attitude and the action of God. God gives to us over and over and over and over again. And He gives us that opportunity to be like Him and give and enjoy the blessing and the goodness that comes from that. Now, I believe that people who give are happier than people who don't give. And there's been studies outside the church, inside the church. Are people who focused on giving, not getting, are they happier people? I think they are. Now, I'm with you if the idea of giving money to God, offering your wealth to God, tithing to your church, if that's all new for you. Well, when it was new for me, I wasn't, well, super happy about it, let's say. But I saw in my life a change in me as I honored God first and foremost. And it's true that has to happen in your time, your talent, your treasure, and your touch. And when we do that, I noticed when I did that, even though it was like my check is going in the offering plate right in front of me, after time, I saw the opportunity that was being paid for by my honoring God. I saw the lives of people changed, not only in a temporal sense, which is a good thing, but eternally. So you want to be happy, you want to keep being grumpy, okay, keep being grumpy. But if you want to be happy, then it's about not what you get, but it's about what you give. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, there is more happiness in giving than receiving. Remember, it's about giving, not receiving. I wear a large, but no. Christmas is coming. We know it's fun to give gifts at Christmas time, don't we? In fact, I think the older we get, the more it is about giving something to someone else over against what we will receive. We love to see that child's face light up, that person's face light up. When they open our gift and we didn't just order something, we got them something that they like, that they need. And in our giving, we can see that we've made them happy. And when they're happy, we're happy, right? It's true, the more we give, the happier I think we become. Because why? We make a living through what we get, but we make a life through what we give. So when you're having a grumpy, bad, down, a little anxious, depressed period in your life, look around for who you can serve. Look around for those that are in need. Look around for those that have been your friends and have supported you. Send them a card. Send them an email. Send them a text. And thank them for being your friend. And I think if you do that, you will find that, well, what Jesus said is true. We're happier. Life carries more meaning with it when we're giving to other people, because it is more blessed to give than receive. God promises us something amazing to me, and that is that he says if we're willing to honor him with our time, talent, treasure, and touch, and we're willing to put him first, if we're willing to focus on giving to others more than getting ourselves, the Bible says that you will not end up with less, you will end up with more. Here's what the Bible says, 1 Luke. Give and it will be given back to you in full measure. What you receive will need to be pressed down and shaken together, but it will still run over and still be poured into your lap. The way you give to others is the way God will give to you. So do you want a little or you want a lot? The economy of the kingdom of God is different than our world economy. God says if you're willing to give generously, then you too will be given to. You won't be with less, you will end up with more. Proverbs 11:24. Some people give generously and end up with more, while others don't give what they should and they end up poor. Now 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And then finally, Proverbs 11:24. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. This is out of the Message. But the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller, and I'd have to agree. I'd have to agree. Now, in my adult life, along with my marriage to Claire, our accounting for our money was a 10% tithe to the church. Then we tried to put 10% into some kind of long-term savings. And then we learned to live on the 80% that we had. Even in that 80%, there were periods of time where we could give even more money to good things, to good people, people in need. And the 10-10-80 principle, I never really felt like we wanted for anything that we needed. That we learned how to live on that 80%, and that was a great thing when abundance came our way. Now we had times that were thinner than others, for sure. I remember a period of time when Claire stayed home as we had young children, and boy, I would do weddings, funerals, bar mitzvahs. We were really floating along by my honorariums for the speaking engagements, the things that I wrote, weddings and funerals. Those were important sources of income in that time. But again, it put this scripture to purpose in our life. We were giving, and when we needed it, more would come our way. I'd get a check from a publishing company, or someone would call me from a large church that had a big budget, and they'd ask me to come and speak at their weekend retreat. And they were very generous, which was a generosity we could use and put to work on a week-to-week basis. I think if we think being stingy is the way to go, we miss out on an awful lot. There's more and more that God has in store for us, and God will be faithful. God will be faithful. As God blesses you and you have more, it gives you more of an opportunity to give. And as we give, I think we gain more and more. Here's a true story from the last 2 weeks. A guy I know who's a very generous guy, he's good about his tithe to the church and then giving generously beyond that, and is generous in the community, both with his money and his time. He told me that he ran into somebody that was cutting trees down. And he went up to the guy and he said, "You know, I'm running out of wood. I have a family member that burns wood all winter, and we burn wood in our house. Is there any chance that I could have some of this wood? Because there were a lot of trees that had been felled." And so he talked to the owner, and the owner said, "Oh, are you kidding? You can have all the firewood you want. All the firewood you want." Now, when he told me, he connected it to God's blessing. I needed something, and God provided it for me. Provided it from someone who is a stranger. Someone who had a lot and was willing to give of that larger portion of wood. And so he's been shuttling back and forth from his house to that property and back, loading up his truck and taking the wood to his home and the family member's home. If he were here this morning, he would say what I am saying: that was a blessing of God. God blesses us. We have more of life, not less of life, when we're a giver. When we're focused on giving and not so much focused on the getting. Finally, we will not only end up with more instead of less, but as we give, especially to things that focus on the eternal, we are investing our money, our generosity, our time, talent, and treasure in heaven, in things eternal. 1 Timothy 6:18 and 19, our scripture passage. "Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share what we have with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure for the future, heaven, so that they may experience eternal life. Now we can add those little portions to our understanding because, well, Paul's writing to Timothy, he's writing to the church. And when you take this whole section, it's very clear that what Paul is saying is that our citizenship is not to this earth. Our primary citizenship is to heaven, to God, eternity. And when we remind ourselves, remember from a few weeks ago, if you want to have a good outlook, have a good uplook. And we need to remind ourselves that especially as we invest in things like the church or other things that have eternity being stated and practiced, that's an investment in heaven. Isn't it true that Paul reminds us that we ought to invest in the lives of others because God wants them in eternity. We want them in eternity. And so we can see that our investment, our giving of time, talent, and treasure, you know, it's good for us. It's good for them. It's not only about things that take place like the need in a moment, but as our time, talent, treasure is invested together, we're making a difference in the lives of people for all eternity. I want to remind you again today, there's only two things you take with you when you die and go to heaven. You take your character that the Holy Spirit has been shaping and all those that you've influenced into eternity. Let us pray. Lord, we're thankful that every good thing comes from you, that you do bless us so that we can be a blessing to others. Lord, the more you bless us, the more that we get, but that positions us so that there's more that we can give. Lord, always give us eyes to see the need around us, both practically and spiritually. Lord, allow us a mind, heart, and soul that can be empathetic, that can take in all that you're doing, not only in the life of a person, but what you're doing around us. Lord, strengthen that Holy Spirit connection so that we can be in touch with your inner promptings. You're speaking to us as well as you're whispering to us. And Jesus, we're thankful for our hand and our feet, our ability to serve others, to honor you with the first and the best part of our time, talent, treasure, and touch. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 Amen.
Children, may His favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, 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 He is for you.
Our prayer for you, that is our blessing for you this week. You are citizens of heaven, and as you go out this week, you've been blessed to be a blessing. We'll see you next Sunday.